All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Strain Forward podcast. This is episode 5, and today we're going to interview none other than my brother, Mr. Cody Bernier, spelled with a K, not a C, spelled with a K. It's
very unique. With a K. Yeah, unique.
You know, my name is, well, actually, let's talk about this, because I think my name was actually supposed to be Chad.
Really? Oh, yeah, I think that would have been kind of cool.
Yeah, but
you know. I was supposed to be Cade, K-A-D-E, which I would have been okay with.
But yeah, I like that name a lot. Cade's pretty sick. Chad is like, there's like a stigma behind Kyle's, Chad's. I mean, that's really it. Kyle's and Chad's.
Those are the two male names that I hear the most, like, I see the most memes about, like, Kyle. But you don't really drink Monster Energy and punch drywall, so.
Well. I punched drywall.
I can think of one time when it's happened, but you are not like a habitual Monster drinker, and like but
dude, yeah, actually, man, that was let's talk about that, because
bad day to be a drywall.
Yeah, dude. So when you live with me, so for you guys listening, so my brother and I lived together back in Charlotte for a little while, and it was
like 7 months, right?
Yeah, dude.
One of the funnest 7 months of my life.
Yeah. And dude, what's crazy is I hardly saw you or Nate the whole time. I was like at the gym all day long, working and training, and then I'd come home, go straight to bed, and it was like awful.
I befriended Nate. Like, me and him would just chill. So Kyle had a roommate, and I didn't think anything of that. I'll get along with anybody. And Kyle was working a lot, and I was unemployed at the time. And I think Nate was just like, I don't know if he was unemployed or just didn't work a lot. Dude, we just ended up like...
He worked, but he didn't work a lot.
Well, we would just end up like watching college basketball. Like, I made chili for him. Like, we just be chilling.
Kicked it. Y'all were living it up. And I don't know what I was doing, but I was not there.
Well, me and Kyle shared a... I was like, dude, I know this is a really weird request, but I still want to stay in Charlotte. I don't want to move home. So, like, can I, like... I was like, can I, like, rent out half of your room? And Kyle was like, yeah.
Dude. Yeah, I can. It might do that every time to time.
All right. So, no, it was Mom. Mom called me. All right. So Kyle's like, it'll be $200 a month. And I'm like, oh, easy money. Let's go. And then, dude, like, I literally was in, you know, in the bunk beds, like, the children's bunk beds. I had that, and I rented out like half his room, and it was so fun, dude.
Bro, your setup, this is so funny. Your setup within a day was like 10 times better than what my setup was being there for like a year. My mattress was on the floor. My nightstand was a cardboard box. And you had this like immaculate like bunk set up. You had your computer underneath. You had your monitors. Your bed was nice.
And remember, like, I had like my dude. I still envy that setup. I kind of want it back, but it was too small. But yeah, then I have like my drawers right there. I'll send you a picture of it. It was so fun. You remember you built the queen mattress thing, the queen mattress frame? You went to Home Depot and got like a couple hundred dollars worth of wood, and you're like, I'm building it, and it was legit. It was really good.
Yeah, and it was all screwed together, so you could unscrew it and take it apart. Like, it was pretty cool. And then I, when I moved, I left it all there, and I haven't seen it since.
Tragic, really. Yeah.
It's the story. But when you and I lived together, I was so stressed about keeping the house clean. I was like so anal about it. I came in one day, and the house wasn't clean. I just swept it, and then I came in, and there was like stuff all over the floor. And I was so pissed. I freaked out on you. And then I just like straight up punched the wall.
Threw a banana at me too.
I threw a banana at you.
So I'm actually like pretty clean. Nate, and Kyle can attest to this. Nate is a pretty dirty guy. But I'm like not dirty. I'm just not like super clean. So I think Nate came in with his boots and just like tracked dirt all through the house. And I think you know what I was actually doing when you came in angry? I was filming a YouTube or an Instagram video on like how to make brownies or something.
You were making like vegan something health, some sort of healthy brownie.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'll film this, and then you came in so mad, and I was like, let me put the camera down.
You should have just left it on. That would have been
tragic for the closest piece of like produce and just like winged it at me.
I was not.
It's all good, dude. This happens. But yeah, so we've lived together and it was fun. It was really fun. I mean, minus, you know, punching drywall. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, dude, we had ridiculous rent. It was $183 a person.
That's awesome. And you didn't have to pay for water, right?
Nothing, dude.
Yeah.
That was a crazy setup. That's like unheard of.
Yeah. It was fun. Fun time.
Anyways. Sorry, we digress.
It was a fun time.
So today we're gonna talk with you guys about navigating injuries. And so Cody and I's history as far as athletics goes, just it's very different in the sense that, number one, we're athletic in different ways, I would say. Like Cody is very good at like weird stuff. Like I can remember you growing up and you would just like, you'd pick up weird things super easy. Like longboarding, for instance, or whatever. Like you were just like oddly good at that. But I was good at whenever I had to manipulate my body,
yeah,
I was very good at that. I could run. I was very, very agile side to side. I could do like handstand walking, backflips, like that kind of stuff just easily. We were just very different in that regard.
That's a great way to put it. I think like you are really good at like traditional like strength and like those kind of like sports. And I was like good at like just weird shit, you know?
Yeah, like just one-off stuff. You just like pick it up super easily. And I'd be like, how are you doing this?
So that's a great way to put it. I didn't really think of that. Yeah.
Another way we differed was I, for whatever reason, just never really got hurt. I've had a few tweaks.
To this day, I'm like, Kyle's got to have some injury.
Crazy. Like, by the grace of God, for whatever reason, like, I think because naturally I was able to move just a little bit more, like a little bit more efficiently. Like, my movement patterns were just better and I had maybe a little bit more resiliency naturally, whereas you didn't have that. And so you've had to navigate quite a few different injuries and like pretty serious stuff.
You want to know how I had my first knee, my only knee surgery on my meniscus? I went to a trampoline park and I was playing dodgeball against a bunch of like 12-year-olds. And I was jumping and like throwing the ball. And one time when I came down, like my knee hyperextended. And then in doing that, it tore my meniscus, which like I had to tell people. I'm like, there's no way you tell people that. Like I had to be like, oh yeah, I was working out. I was squatting. But really, I was playing dodgeball against a bunch of 12-year-olds.
You're trying to own some 12-year-olds and your knee got busted.
Dylan, one of my buddies, Dylan, was there with me too. And he can like attest to it, dude. Like we were going in on these 12-year-olds. But I'm just like, how does that happen?
But you know what's so crazy about you saying that? And I want you to keep expounding on that. But what's crazy about that is you hyperextended your knee. Dude, this attests to like the difference in our bodies, right?
Probably do that all the time, don't you?
Well, no, because in high school, this happened to me. So in high school, when I was playing football, I had to they were punting and I was on defense and I was in charge of like running after the punter and trying to block the kick, right? Well, there's always a blocker in front of the punter. And this guy decided to chop block me. And so he dove at my knee and my knee straight up locked. And I folded over him. And I remember being like, I thought my knee was like destroyed. And so I walked around a little bit. It was a little bit tight. And then the next day, nothing. Like it was fine. And what's crazy is like, that sounds worse than what just happened to you on the trampoline.
Yes.
But yet my knee was completely fine. And I don't know why that is or how it happened.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason that did. So why don't you talk a little bit about, I don't know, where do you want to start with that? Do you want to talk about
all my injuries are like cartilage related.
Yeah.
Like I think I've broken my wrist, but I got over that. All my injuries are like cartilage related. I tore my meniscus and then I tore the labrum in my hip, which is your cushiony part of your hip, twice. I mean, and then I just have a bunch of nagging injuries too, like shoulder, my wrist still acts up every now and then. But I think honestly, like there might, like it's definitely genetic. I'm coming to that conclusion. Not that I'm just giving up. Like obviously I do rehab every day. I did it today. But right. I think I've come to the conclusion that, like, I got to treat my body different than, like, you treat your body. And it's crazy because you're older than me. I'm 2 years younger than you. But I have to kind of just be more aware of like how I move my body. And I'm starting to think that it's something like, do you know what? It's like called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Have you heard of that?
No, never.
Somebody put me onto it. I don't know if I have it, but I'm kind of starting to think I might, which is basically the cartilage in your body is like super soft. It's like, it's a genetic thing. And like, so you're more prone. It's also like, there's a hyperelasticity thing to it. So like you can dislocate really easily. You can tear your cartilage really easily. So I'm starting to think I might have like a, you know, a smidgen of that, but either way, dude, I'm gonna still do what I'm doing. You know, I'll just be wrecked. But, I think what you're talking about, like I think you got into working out a lot earlier than I did. Like, I don't think I started working out until I was like 14 or 15 and I kind of wanted to lose some weight. You were doing it when you were like 10, right?
Yeah. Young, very young.
Yeah. And I never really like got into that or really cared to until I saw you and saw Dad. And I'm like, okay, you guys are big. There's this famous jiu-jitsu guy, Mikey Musumeci. He started doing jiu-jitsu when he was like 4. Same thing. He's never had an injury in his life, but this dude is like so limber, so flexible, moves super well. He does these crazy like squats. And it's like, I think a lot of it comes down to like how early on your body moves, you know?
I would agree. Yeah. I think it 100% comes to that, you know, like you, like the whole nature versus nurture thing, right? Like there could be a genetic disposition I have to being more resilient, but because it was coupled with early training, I was constantly moving. So mobility was like always being either enhanced or just maintained. You just build up that resiliency to like, I can get in these weird positions and be strong out of it just naturally, right?
That, dude, I was listening to Andrew Huberman last night and he was saying that. He was like, a lot of these people who are like, quote unquote, like the greats, it was a compilation of like three things, which is they had a genetic disposition to whatever their sport is they're talking about. Like this one MMA guy who's like, his left kick is insane. But anyways, he had the greats have a genetic predisposition to it. They trained in it and they started really early.
Yep.
So like those three things. And then like, by the time that they get to their like 20 or 30, like, they're just phenoms. And for me, I never really like started working out until I was like 14 or 15. And by that time, it's like, maybe if I did have the genetic predisposition to whatever athletics, I didn't take advantage of it when I should have. Or, I mean, I can train my butt off, but like maybe my joints aren't as mobile as it would have been if I started super young. So I don't know. Like, taking the good with the bad, I'm obviously not going to be like a professional athlete, so it doesn't bum me out too much. But what does suck is going through injuries. Like,
And I want you to hit on this because I think it'd be valuable for people to hear, because I can't necessarily relate to people the way you can. So I'd love for you to hit on that.
Dude, I did jiu-jitsu, and it's probably the best thing I've gotten into in my life thus far. But it's a very like, it's a high impact sport. And I remember when I tore my labrum in my hip, I knew exactly when it happened. I wasn't even mad that I tore my labrum. I was mad at the mental aspect that I knew was going to come with it in 6 to 8 months. It's like, if they could.
Hey, put your phone on do not disturb. So that way it doesn't, go again.
Put it in work. Okay.
Yeah. That should be up to recording.
Did it stop the recording?
No, it says it's still recording. I should be able to go in there later and edit it. So.
Okay. You can edit? Yeah. Go in and edit? Okay. Do you want to, I know like with Tyler's, do you want to start over or you want to just keep going?
No, just pick up where you were. Okay. And I'll just, it'll be fine.
So the mental aspect of getting an injury is really, in my opinion, way worse than the physical aspect. Like, yeah, it hurts, whatever. I'm like, my pain tolerance is fairly high, but the mental aspect sucks. And really the part that they don't talk about is like the isolation that comes along with it. So imagine like you're a CrossFitter. You probably get a lot of your value as a human being from doing CrossFit, whether it's your community, whether that's like, oh, I like moving a lot of weight. I like, you know, doing these things. And then like, in an instant, all that is taken from you. And you're like,
yeah,
well, who am I if I'm not a CrossFitter? Who am I if I'm not, you know, if I can't lift hundreds of pounds? Who am I if I can't run these, you know, sub whatever miles? And not that, like, and I'm really trying to, like, kind of figure out those things with, like, who am I if I'm not the guy at Open Mat? And who am I if I'm not the guy who is, you know, doing jiu-jitsu? And it really forces you to look inward and also kind of, like, I don't want to say, like, diversify your portfolio, but, like, really be like, okay,
yeah.
I enjoy this aspect of my life. It's physical. It's fun. But I also need to have another aspect of my life that is more, let's just say, like, less physical and more, like, intellectual or more whatever.
Yeah.
I've looked into getting into, like, a chess club or something. or like, picking up guitar and joining a band or something like that. Or something that it's, like, it's more mental stimulating than it is physical stimulating. Not that I'll never do the physical things again, obviously. But the hardest part is, like, the isolation that comes along with an injury. It's
right.
It's debilitating.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, because if it's your one thing, and then that one thing's taken away, and now you have no thing, or you perceive that you have nothing, then it becomes very isolating. It's very lonely, and you're like, okay, well, what do I do? Who am I? And to your point, having multiple things to be a part of that you can derive some value from, maybe not ultimate value, but some value from. So if you get injured in this area, it's like, okay, well, that's just one part of my life.
I've got
this here and that thing over there.
Oh, dude, 100%. Like, I 100% see the value in, like, having multiple hobbies, because, like, it sucks, dude. Because, like, a big part of jiu-jitsu is, like, yeah, you go, you do jiu-jitsu, you roll around. But, like, one of the best parts for me was, like, when I'm tired, I'm on, like, the side of the mat, and a buddy's next to me, I'm just like, how's the wife and kids, man? Oh, it's good, man. How's work going? Oh, it's pretty good. And you're just like that camaraderie of, like, we're just shooting the crap, you know? Like, we're just like, okay, what's going on? Like, that's what's, to me, like, the coolest part. And if I'm not even able to get in the gym to, like, do that, then it's like, okay, well, now I really got to make an effort. It's made me realize, like, two things. Number one, to, like, diversify my portfolio of activity.
I love that. That's so funny.
Yeah. And I got the thumbs. And also, like, really realize the importance of, like, relationships, and not even, like, intimate relationships, but, like, I've never called more people in my life that are, like, friends that I haven't talked to in a while. And I've had, like, hours long conversations, just like, what's going on with you, man? Because I don't know, but the viewers don't. I had surgery on my labrum on my hip 2 months ago, and I'm going to be out probably, like, I can't go back until, like, for, like, 4 months. So I got, like, 2 or 3 more months to go.
Yeah.
So, like, every day I'm like, well, I want to go do something, but I can't. So, oh, let me call my buddy Sam, see what he's up to. Oh, let me call my buddy Alex, see what he's up to. Oh, let me go do something I wouldn't normally do that's not, like, physically, like, it literally, like, it gets you out of that, like, comfort zone of, like, oh, I'm just one person and I just want to do this one thing. So I think it's a blessing in disguise. It's just still, you know, it's rough.
you're hitting all the things. Like, I may not. So I haven't had any, like, seriously, by the grace of God, I haven't had any crazy injuries, but I've had some tweaks.
Yeah.
And a tweak when you're training for something as, like, as pivotal, perceive it as pivotal as, like, the CrossFit Games. Like if you're tweaked going into the season, it's like, oh no, right? And what I learned through that was, really, to your point, you learn how to, number one, see it as a blessing. It's like, okay, am I moving wrong in some way? Can I move differently? Can I move better? And it actually, when I hurt my back, because I tweaked my back, not terrible, but enough to where I couldn't squat or deadlift, I learned how to squat better, because I could only squat in a certain way without pain, and it was the correct way. And so it actually helped improve my squat, which was really cool. It was a very awesome benefit once I could see it like that. But additionally, I learned how to maximize every single day just to the current ability that I had.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, so I couldn't squat, I couldn't deadlift, I couldn't do cleans, but I could lunge. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to lunge my face off.
Lunge your butt off, yeah.
Yeah. I could do upper body. I was like, I'm going to do upper body. I could ride the echo bike with no pain. I was like, I'm going to do tons of echo bike intervals. And so you learn how to do just as much as you possibly can based on your current ability. And then when you can come back, you know, you're not as far back as you would have if you had just sort of sulked into nothing.
I remember you taught me that because, I mean, I've had injuries for like the past 10 or 15 years now. And like, it's funny, you said it like very early on. And then my physical therapist just said this the other day. And I'm like, dang, Kyle should be a physical therapist. But when I got my knee injury and I was like, you know, really like gun shy, I think you'd be like, well, just do workouts. Don't like go to pain. Go like right before pain.
Yep.
And the other day, I'm in physical therapy and I was like, well, how do I know like when to stop or when to keep going? And he's just like, well, don't go to pain. Just go right before it. And I'm like,
I mean, that's, yeah. Well, because I did a lot of studying with this stuff because one, I was interested, and two, I was, you know, I'd get little minor tweaks and I'd be like, okay, well, how do I work around this? And yeah, that's the recurring theme is you let pain be your guide.
Yeah.
And
let pain be your guide.
Yep. And so if you're, you know, like, let's just use the example of like, if raising your arm to here hurts, but only raising it to here doesn't, well, then just raise to there, right? Yeah. To the point of pain. And you just do that progressively over time. And that's how you come back quicker than if you just do nothing.
What makes me mad, and I've dealt with this with other people, is like, there's a difference between pain and fatigue. And sometimes people don't get that. People are like, oh, I'm really tired. And it's like, it's okay to be tired, but it's not okay to push through pain. My ex at the time, we would work out or whatever, and she's like, I can't keep going. And I'm like, are you in pain or are you tired? I'm so tired. I'm like, okay, then you're fine. Or it would be like the next day, she'd be like, I'm in so much pain. I'm like, are you sore or are you like actually in pain? I'm really sore. I'm like, okay, that's okay. But like,
yeah.
You know, it's okay to be sore. It's not okay to be like, I can't move my knee or I can't move my head. Like, okay, maybe we got something going on here. But a lot of people don't understand that difference.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, I was watching, there's a guy. So, you know, RP diet, like the RP strength?
No.
So they're relatively popular. Some of you guys listening might know him, but the CEO, Dr. Mike Isretel, he was hitting on this, your exact point. It's very common theme. But he was saying that when you're training and you're working out and you're doing stuff, he's like, you're kind of just always in this perpetual state of tiredness.
Yeah.
You just kind of live there.
Yeah.
And so you have to learn that difference between, am I tired or am I actually hurt or tweaked or whatever? Yeah. And that's where learning how to describe your pain can be really valuable. It's like, is this sharp pain? Is this like
a dull pain?
Yeah. Or is it dull, sore? Like, you learn how to describe your pain, which gets you in tune with your body, and then you're better for that going forward.
Yeah. On the topic of like being in intense perpetual state of tiredness, there's only been two sports I've ever done where I'm like, I might die. And it was CrossFit. Okay. Jiu-Jitsu. And they say all that jiu-jitsu is for CrossFitters who don't want to do CrossFit anymore, or for people who like the CrossFit atmosphere who want to try something else. Like, there's a big crossover, no pun intended, for jiu-jitsu and CrossFit. But like, you're getting these intense states of cardio where you're like, oh my God, like, am I going to, you start questioning your mind, like, am I going to die? Like, is everything going to be okay? I remember one time I had a really intense set or role with this guy. He was, they called him like, I think it's like Big Tex or something. This dude was like 6'2", like at least 300 pounds. And I'm like, I'll roll with you. And a lot of those guys, what they try to do is they try to just lay on you and use that. So what you're supposed to do against a big guy is you're supposed to beat him with speed and go to the legs, because usually they're really bad at defending that. So I'm like, okay, I'll try to get him with speed. But he did eventually get on top of me. And there's rounds, and I keep looking at the clock. I'm like, okay, I got 30 seconds left. 30 seconds, and I can just, like, get out of this. Yeah. And he was on top of me, and that was that hot air, so I couldn't breathe. And I'm like, I start thinking, I'm like, am I going to die? Like, is this one? Like, I can't do this, man. And it was, like, 10 seconds left, and I, like, had, like, a small panic attack, and I was like, I can't do it. I was like, get up. And he's like, you can't. Yeah. And get up. Stop. I can't do this. But, yeah. So Back to injuries, man. Like, so in jiu-jitsu and probably in CrossFit too, like, you're always going to tweak something. It's just when you have like a serious injury, it usually requires like being down for like a month or two, or like surgeries or things like that. Like, it can like knock the confidence straight out of you. In terms of like, you really start to like think about like more like the internal stuff, which is like, well, am I just a weak person at heart? Am I just soft? Am I like, you know, am I just bad at this sport and that's why I got injured and whatever? And the reality is like, injuries are random and they're gonna happen. Like, I don't wish this on you at all. Knock on wood. You might have a really serious injury at some time in the future. Doesn't mean that like you're a bad athlete. Doesn't mean that like you're soft. Doesn't mean any of these things. So like, it's hard to not fall into these thought patterns of like, you know, am I soft? Am I bad? Am I, you know, whatever? It's tricky, man. But like I said, the hardest part is in the mental aspect of it.
Yeah, I think it's what I find most valuable in preparation, right? Like, you never want to. I think you got to toe the line between, you don't want to like manifest an injury, like thinking, oh, it's going to happen, because you can't actually manifest an injury. But you also want to have that understanding that like things could happen at some point. And I think what I find most valuable is every day, or as often as possible, finding a way to practice deriving your value from something else bigger than yourself, more important. Okay. And you know, for me, it's definitely faith. Like just understanding value doesn't come from that. So that way, when it does happen, it's not a shocking or jarring, right? Like, okay, I'm injured. It's like, all right, it's okay. Like, I'm going to have to go through this process. Yes, it's painful. It might be 6 months. It might be a year. But it will come to an end. And I will be able to come back in some way, shape, or form.
That's the part, dude. It's hard to, like, it's easy to get in that mindset of, like, oh, I'll never be able to, like, do jiu-jitsu again. I'll never be able to do CrossFit again. And it's like, this too shall pass, right? This, like, it's going to end. And you'll be stronger on the other end. I've been journaling a lot, too. Like, just my thoughts and my fears and like stuff like that. And I think that's smart too, to be able to like write that down. That way in a year, 2 years, or 3 years, if I'm ever injured again, or if I'm ever just in a weird spot, I could be like, wow, you know, it's crazy that like I was thinking these thoughts, but then I came out of it on the other side, you know, beautiful, you know?
Go ahead, finish your thoughts.
So I would say like calling on your people, calling on your community, whatever that is, calling on your tribe, calling on them, just being like, hey man, I'm struggling right now, like with this mental aspect of this, especially like I kind of got a double whammy, right? Like I went through the surgery and then I also went through a pretty nasty breakup. So it was like, it was a double whammy. And so like that really made me be like, well, I can sit around and cry about it, which I did, or I can call on my people and just like really be a good friend to someone right now. Like if that's the only value that I can provide to myself, which is like, I might not be able to do jiu-jitsu, but I'm gonna be a dang good friend to someone who needs it right now. I'm gonna be that guy, like call me up, whatever, you know, like I'll be that.
I love that you're hitting on that, man. That's huge. I was actually, this is to your point, I was just listening to an Alex Hormozi podcast. He was on there. He was on with Chris Wilkes. I think his name's Chris Wilson, very popular podcast. And one of the things he brought up was that sometimes when bad things happen to people, they will say, you know, like two other things will happen and they'll be like, oh, it always comes in threes. And what he said was, no, that's not really true. He's like, something bad will happen to you and then you'll respond poorly to it.
Yeah.
And so more bad things will happen. And you'll just throw up the excuse, well, guess bad things come in threes, and this is just how it is. Whereas if you can respond in a positive light, like, okay, something bad happened, don't let that affect other areas of your life, you can keep more bad, like, you can keep bad things from happening as often or in the moment as well. Like, you just went through this breakup and this injury. It'd be very easy to be like, mad at the world, spiteful toward people, whatever. And then all of a sudden, all these other things are happening. And the story is, well, I guess everything's just awful. Yeah. It's like, well, not really. You just responded really poorly.
Yeah. Cognitive bias, dude. There's a book I was reading. It's called Thinking Fast, Thinking Slow. Have you ever heard of that? It's basically like 20 different ways that human beings think. And two of them I could think of off this is cognitive bias, which is like, you ever like, an example of that would be like, my wife just got pregnant. So now all I'm seeing is pregnant people everywhere, pregnant women everywhere. It's like, you pay attention to what like makes sense to you. It's an evolutionary thing, I think, to where like only pay attention to the things that like are important to us, which is usually like food and shelter and stuff like that. And then, yeah. And then spotlight theory is a big one, dude. Person I was dating, and I'm not going to trash her. She's a great person. But we would go out and she would like, I have like a little stain on my shirt or something. What do you have to say? You should have changed. But people, I was like, listen, everyone is in their own world and they probably don't even notice that we are just standing here, you know, with spotlight theory, and everyone does it. I was guilty of it too, which is like, oh, everyone's looking at me. Oh, everyone cares. Oh, and it's like, everyone's in their own world, dude. And they could literally give a crap about you. And the spotlight theory, which is like, we think, and because, you know, we are in first person mode, right? We're born that way. It's not like we can like zoom outside of ourselves. So it's hard to not feel that way. But spotlight theory is another one where it's like, nobody cares. Nobody cares that you're injured. But I mean, this sounds bad.
Right. I know what you mean.
But it's like, it's a very liberating feeling knowing that like I remember when I went back to jiu-jitsu the other day just to shoot the crap with some people. I didn't roll. And they're like, where you been, man? I haven't seen you. And I'm like, I had a whole surgery. I'm like, oh, I didn't even know. And I'm like, exactly. Like, it's not a main part of their life that I got injured. So why do I care? Like, people are just, oh, what's going on? It's not like I'm a celebrity. So it's like, it doesn't matter. You know, it's really liberating.
And I mean, and yeah, like to your point about even being a celebrity, it's like, being a celebrity and being in the actual spotlight would be the most exaggerated version of this, where maybe the most people would actually care and think about it. But even then, it's a fleeting thought. They're like, oh, wow, did you hear about so-and-so? And then they're onto their conversation and they don't even care about that celebrity. And what
there's a million headlines a day. So it's like, I think humans have like 70,000 thoughts a day. So like maybe you're one of 70,000. BFG, you know what I'm saying? Like, or BFD, like, big deal, you know?
No, I love that, man. I think that's a great perspective to have. It's like, I think it's a good perspective to have because it just puts yourself in the right place of like, I'm just a person on this in this world doing life, trying to figure things out. And really, to your point, like, the best value and the most value we can derive, in my opinion, is like helping others and like being kind to others. And like you just said, like, I'm going to be the best friend I can possibly be. It's like, dude, I would say that's probably the most ultimate value. And it's really hard to do. Like, you and I have just had a conversation where we talked about this. Like, it's very hard to not be selfish and actually do that selfless act. And a lot of times when we get into these painful situations where there's injury, it's a breakup, like, you know, I'm going through stuff right now, which I'll share in a later podcast. It's like, it forces you to really look outside yourself and rely on others and then want to be there for others. And it just changes you as a person. It really does.
I used to think people are just like, I don't know, dude. I never really thought about like, oh yeah, it's just my buddy, whatever. Oh yeah, it's just my brother, whatever. I mean, not like that, but it's just like, whatever. When you really start to understand the value of people when you go through stuff, and maybe that's why we need to go through stuff. Like, if everything was all happy, go lucky all the time, I probably wouldn't like, I don't care about Sam and what he's doing. I'm fine over here. But when you go through something, Sam went through something. He went through like a legal battle. Like, I was like, the best thing I can do for Sam is just pick the phone when he calls me, you know?
Be there, man. Yeah, just be there.
Yeah.
That's really good. I mean, it's so funny how all of this, you know, it starts in the physical, you know, an injury in the body or whatever. And it's like, it bleeds into so many other areas that are just intangible. You can't really put your finger on them, but they're there and they mean something. And it's kind of crazy how that all works and ties together.
Yeah, man. I hope that like, I can just be half the friend that my friends have been to me during this. it's an experience thing. And it's like, I know for a fact, if I'm coming across a guy and he like tears his ACL in front of me or like whatever. He's like, man, I'm going through. I'm like, brother, I've been there. Like, I know what you're dealing with and I'm here for you. Like, it's not, people tend to forget about things, right? Like, so like someone who tears an ACL and they're gone for 3 months, they don't really, they're kind of like back of mind, but they don't know, like, that guy, he's going home every day and he's crutching around his apartment and, like, he can't wipe his butt the right way and he can't, like, go to the mailbox. Like, it's debilitating, right? Like, and so I had a few friends that literally would just check up on me. Hey, man, thinking about you. How you doing? And it's like, dude, that is, like, the best thing that I can hear today. It's just a text from you asking how I'm doing, you know? So that's
cool.
It does. It sucks, but it's a really good reminder. I think it's definitely like a life thing where, like, God, universe, whatever you want to call it, they put you through different trials and tribulations. For me, I guess it's just my physical body that they want to teach me lessons through. So, like, that's where it's like, all right, let's learn the lesson that we're supposed to go through, you know?
Yeah. Man, that's so good. I think a lot of people are going to really enjoy listening to that and driving some encouragement from, because I work with a lot of clients that just, you know, it's challenging, especially being someone in my shoes working with a client, because they see me doing things and it's just like, how will I ever do that? How will I ever get there? Blah, 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 whatever. And so it's really encouraging, I think, for people to hear that, like, we all go through stuff and the best thing you can do is just focus on where you're at in this moment. And just make the absolute most of it. Learn exactly what it is you need to learn and just go through the process and be patient with yourself.
Dude, Joe Rogan, and I mean, I'm not a huge fan of his, but he does have some really good quotes. He said something the other day and he's like, talking about like people who want to get back in shape. And he's like, well, I hate when people try to like gung-ho it and they try to do it overnight. And it's like, listen, you didn't get sick overnight, right? And you're not going to get healthy overnight and you're not going to lose weight over, like, it's a slow process, but just every day it's like showing up for yourself and like making the right decisions in your diet, making the right decisions. Like for me, dude, I can't do a lot of cardio. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to walk to the mailbox and back today. All right. And I'm going to hop on the bike for 5 minutes if that's all I can tolerate. Okay. And I'm going to choose to not eat a dozen cookies, which is hard for me.
Dude, you can smash some cookies. You can smash some cookies.
Bro. That was like, dude, the number one thing when I could start, like, as I started working out again, I was like, now I can eat cookies again.
Yeah, dude. That's so funny. Yeah, you, man, sidebar funny note. Like, I went to Cody's house one day, and we went to, I think, Publix or one of the grocery stores. We got a sub, and you got a dozen cookies. It was for everyone. It was like a communal cookie box. And so we're like eating our sandwiches, whatever. And I was faced away. And I turned and looked at the box. I'm not kidding you. It had been maybe 5 minutes. 10 of 12 were gone. And I was like, yo, can I get some of those? And he goes, oh, did you want some? Yo, I was like, well, yeah, I thought they were for everyone. Destroyed them.
Dude, I love them. I thought about making an Instagram, like a throwaway Instagram, just call like my cookie review. And I just go to different places, get a cookie, review it, and then just go on and on. You know, like the Dave Portnoy, the pizza thing? I would do that for cookies. Like, test it on like softness, test it on like crunchiness. Like,
oh, you definitely could. That would be really funny.
Dude, I love cookies. But yeah, whenever I got like to where I can burn more calories throughout the day now through my exercise, I was like, oh, I can go back to eat cookies. Hell yeah. So
yeah. And that, I mean, that is a nice advantage. Because I mean, you do afford a little bit more wiggle room in your diet when you aren't, you know, training really hard, lifting weights, doing it. You know, and I want to hammer it. I want to hit on this point, and then we'll probably have to wrap it up. We're coming up with 40 minutes. You know, the slow process of things. I've mastered that in my mind with fitness because I've been doing it for so long. So like, you know, I tell myself when I'm training, because I'll be thinking about trying to do everything and blah, blah, blah. It's like, one of the quotes I say to myself, which is very common, it's, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, right? Yeah. That for me works. It's like, because I visualize, okay, I'm trying to build Rome. That's my body. Like, I want to build this temple, this Colosseum. Not in an arrogant way, but like, that's what I'm trying to do. And it's not built in a day. So you just got to focus on like, what's the main things for today. But I've struggled with like my financials and this business things. And it's been, I mean, I've been doing this for 7 months and it's like, this is a slow process, but I think it's the best thing, because the slower it is, the more opportunities you have to vote for yourself every single day on who it is you want to be. And that consistent voting on who it is you want to be every single day really like forges this path of like, that's who I am now. Like you ingrain that in your brain. Like every single day I go to the gym, after a while, it's like, I go to the gym.
Yeah.
And then you're the person that goes to the gym. Yeah. You know, like when I started this with content, it was like, I'm going to post every single day, 2 to 3 times a day. 5 months later, it was like,
I'm someone who posts content. That's just what
And it's just like, man.
I used to be like ashamed of it. And especially like where we grew up, like up in the sticks, it's kind of closed minded place. And I'd be like, okay, well, and I would fight that a lot. Like, okay, well, that's weird. That's, you know, whatever. And now it's like cool to be a creator, but it's like, dude, like be who you are, choose yourself. And not only will like, it's a twofold thing because the people who don't like it will go out of your life and the people who do like it will gravitate towards you.
Yep.
So it's like, it's a great filtering process. And yeah, like, what is it? Like thoughts become things and habits. Like you formulate these habits of like choosing yourself. Like, dude, I'm not like, I'm so glad that like I got into fitness. I'm not an athletic guy by any means or by any like shape of the imagination, but it is a huge part of my personality because like I've done it for so long. And like, dude, I'm not like this guy who's like jacked or whatever, but it's like because I made those decisions because dad or whoever kind of like forged us to like, okay, well, you can do whatever you want in life, but also like make sure you take care of your body. Now, like, okay, I like making YouTube videos or playing guitar or doing jiu-jitsu, but I also make sure I go to the gym every day. I also make sure I do something. I'm also make sure I'm watching what I'm eating, you know? So it doesn't have to be your whole personality, but it's definitely something that you should, you know, choose for yourself.
Yeah. The benefits far outweigh the cons for just take care of yourself physically. It absolutely does. I think too, in the Bible, Paul, when he's writing, I think the verse says, you know, physical training is of some value, but spiritual training is of the most, right? But I don't want to misquote, but I'm pretty sure that's the only physical thing he mentions of being of some value in this world.
Really?
Like, I can't think of any other part in the Bible, and I'm not super familiar with the Bible, even as a believer. But I can't remember any other part where he says, you know, something in the physical is of some value other than physical training. Which I think is pretty cool. I hope I'm right on that because that makes it way cooler. But that's the only thing I can think of.
Dude, like when my mind's racing, especially like, you know, with all the crap that we've gone through or I've gone through with this breakup and stuff, like just like busting out some pull-ups and some push-ups and getting a little sweat going. And I'm like, wow, I feel a lot better. Like
dude.
The mind, it's like it needs to be focused on something. And if it, for better or worse, you can sit around and focus on like a relationship that ended or my finances or I'm worried about this. And it's like, let's focus on busting out 20 pull-ups. You know, like let's focus on that was all I could do. I was on crutches and I had the little thing, the you know, the doorway thing. I'm like, all right, I'm going to do 6 rounds of 10 pull-ups, 20 push-ups. And I'm just going to get a little sweat going.
I love that. That's a great workout.
Oh, it was great. I still do it. And now I'm like, and I would be done. It was only like 20 minutes. I'm like, I feel so much better. I feel That's so awesome. Much better, dude. So, yeah.
Dude, very cool.
Yeah, man.
All right. So let's wrap this thing up. It's been about 45 minutes. I appreciate you sharing all this, man. This has been really good. I mean, this is a good conversation just to have. This is one I feel like you and I would just shoot the breeze with, even if it wasn't a podcast. So I appreciate you sharing all that and being open. Definitely want to have you back on to share more stuff.
I have a bus. So if you want to follow the bus on YouTube, that's kind of like my creativity space is the bus.
He has a bus. He's got a school bus.
Seriously. I have a school bus that I'm going to convert in and hopefully live and maybe travel. But that's where I like my creativity aspect is on YouTube, Escapade Made. That's me. So
awesome, man. All right, you guys. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. This has been another episode of the Strain Forward Podcast. And as always, keep moving forward.
Keep moving forward, baby.
See ya.
Am I good?